faster than other muscle groups. The calves seem to respond particularly well to periodized training that includes high rep work. Periodized training has you work a muscle group with various rep ranges, and the calves seem to particularly benefit from the inclusion of higher rep ranges. And in case you're wondering, a periodized approach works well on other muscle groups as well, but it's best suited to advanced weightlifters, and is discussed in the sequel to this book, Beyond Bigger, Leaner, Stronger. There are various theories as to why this is, but no definitive answers that I know of. Nevertheless, success leaves clues, and this is one you'll often come across in talking with guys who have built impressive calves and had to actually work for it. Based on these two points, the calf routine I'm going to recommend works as follows. Do 3 calf workouts per week with at least 1 day in between each. Do 6 sets per workout. Use a 2-1-2 rep tempo, 2 seconds to full contraction, a slight pause while contracted, and 2 seconds to release. Once you hit the top of your rep range with a given weight, add 10 pounds. Here are the workouts. Calf workout A, standing calf raise, 3 sets of 4 to 6 reps. Seated calf raise, 3 sets of 4 to 6 reps. Rest 2 to 3 minutes in between these sets. Calf workout B, leg press calf raise, 3 sets of 8 to 10 reps. Donkey calf raise, or leg press calf raise, 3 sets of 8 to 10 reps. Rest 1 to 2 minutes in between these sets. Calf workout C, standing calf raise, 3 sets of 12 to 15 reps. Seated calf raise, 3 sets of 12 to 15 reps. Rest 1 minute in between these sets. Simple enough. Personally, I do workout A on Monday, B on Wednesday, and C on Friday. As with all exercises, form is extremely important in calf training. If you shortchange yourself by reducing the range of motion, you'll find the workouts far less effective. The proper form with these calf exercises is simple. At the bottom of a rep, your heels are as low as they'll go and you feel a deep stretch in your calves. And at the top of a rep, you're up on your tippy toes like a ballerina. Many people simply use too much weight and can't make it anywhere near as high as they should at the top of their reps and then wonder why their calves never get bigger or stronger. Don't make the same mistake. Arms. While I think the arms get a bit too much attention in the overall scheme of things, I definitely agree that a physique isn't complete without big, developed arms. As you probably know, the largest arm muscles are the biceps and triceps, but let's look at them in a little more detail, as well as the forearms, so we know exactly what we're training. The biceps, or formerly biceps brachii, is a two-headed muscle that are illustrated in the bonus report. There's another muscle called the biceps brachialis, which lies beneath the biceps brachii. While this muscle isn't nearly as prominent as the biceps brachii when developed, it plays an important role in the overall look of your arms. It looks like a mere bump in between the biceps brachii and triceps, but its level of development affects the amount of peak your biceps appear to have. Ultimately, peak is mostly determined by genetics, but increasing the size of the brachialis can give the appearance of a better peak. The next muscle group to talk about is the triceps, or triceps brachii, which has 3 heads, which you'll find in a diagram in the bonus report. The 3 heads combine to form the distinctive horseshoe that can become quite pronounced when properly developed. While the biceps are usually the focus of arms workouts, many people don't realize that the triceps account for quite a bit of your arm size. Small triceps mean small, disproportionate arms, regardless of the size of the biceps. Last but not least are the forearms, which consist of several smaller muscles. Forearms are like the calves of the arms. They aren't the immediate focus, but if they're underdeveloped, it's sorely obvious. Now let's get to the exercises, starting with the biceps. Barbell curl, easy bar curl, dumbbell curl, hammer curl, chin-up. By now, you're probably not surprised that the list is short and sweet. These exercises, plus your heavy back training, are all you need to build big, thick, strong biceps. In terms of programming, you have quite a bit of flexibility. What I like to do is at least 1 barbell and 1 dumbbell exercise per workout for the biceps. Most of the time, it's the barbell curl followed by the hammer curl. Let's move on to the triceps. Close grip bench press, seated triceps press, dip, triceps variation, lying triceps extension, skull crusher, triceps pushdown. I like to start my triceps training with something I can push some weight on, like the close grip bench press or seated triceps press. There's no real rule of thumb for what comes next. I simply rotate through the other exercises on the 8-week schedule that you'll be following. It's worth noting that you may run into some pretty intense forearm soreness with the arm workouts in this program and with the biceps training in particular. It can almost feel like your bones are aching. If you experience this, simply reduce your working set weight to the 6 to 8 rep range, enough weight to allow for 6 reps but no more than 8, and build your strength here for the first couple of months. You should then be able to return to the 4 to 6 rep work and be pain-free. Core. Everyone wants it. The elusive six-pack. The hallmark of the fitness elite. The proof that you know the inside secrets of getting ripped. Unfortunately, the amount of bad advice out there on how to get them is just staggering. Some trainers say you just have to do special types of ab exercises, and they're wrong. Others say you just have to get lean and you'll have an awesome core, and they're wrong. Others still say you just have to do a lot of squatting and deadlifting, and they're wrong too. And let's not forget the quacks who say the real secret is avoiding certain types of foods and taking weird pills and powders. They're really wrong. Like most things fitness, the real way to get six-pack abs, for both guys and gals, is pretty straightforward. When people talk about abs, what they're referring to is the pair of muscles that make up the rectus abdominis, which is the most prominent of the core muscles. These muscles aren't the whole story of the full six-pack look that people want, however. There are other core muscles that must be properly developed as well, such as the obliques, external mainly, the transversus abdominis, or TVA, as it's commonly referred to, and the serratus anterior. How do you get these muscles to pop, you're wondering? Well, no number of ab exercises alone will give you a great six-pack. No matter how simple or fancy the exercises, they are not the shortcut to six-pack abs. Yes, ab exercises are necessary for developing a solid core, but it takes more than weekly ab challenges to get the look you desire. Just deadlifting and squatting isn't enough. I don't know how many times I've heard the following. I don't train abs, I squat and deadlift. And these guys and girls usually have unimpressive cores. The reality is these two exercises, even when performed with heavy weight, 80%+ of 1RM, just don't involve the show muscles of the rectus abdominis, the transversus abdominis, and the external obliques as much as people think. Now, don't get me wrong, heavy squatting and deadlifting do help build an all-around great core, but they aren't enough on their own. Just being lean isn't enough either. It's true that you need to have low levels of body fat for your abs to fully show. For us guys, they start becoming visible as you get under 10% body fat, 20% body fat for girls. But you can get very lean and still not have the six-pack look you want because most people's cores aren't naturally developed enough to have the deep cuts and pronounced lines that make for a truly outstanding six-pack. What does it take to get a killer core then? The full six-pack look requires both low body fat levels and well-developed core muscles, and that means doing two things. Reducing your body fat percentage. Our rectus abdominis doesn't start showing until we reach the 10% range, and the rest of the core muscles don't pop until we reach the 8% range. Just know that no matter how great your core muscles are developed, you will not achieve the look you want if your body fat percentage is too high. Regularly performing the right ab and core exercises. Building a great six-pack requires that you do both ab exercises that train your rectus abdominis and exercises that train the other core muscles that complete the look we want. What are the right exercises then? Let's find out. Cable crunch, hanging leg raise, captain's chair leg raise, ab roller, air bicycles, flat bench lying leg raise, decline crunch. I didn't just choose these at random. Research led by Peter Francis, Ph.D., at the Biomechanics Lab at San Diego State University showed them to be the most effective for training the rectus abdominis and obliques. One of the biggest ab training mistakes most people make is that they don't perform any weighted ab exercises. The result is the ability to do a bazillion crunches or leg raises, but with abs that look small and underdeveloped. The abs are like any other muscle. They require progressive overload to grow, and that can only be accomplished by adding resistance to exercises. You don't have to add weight to all of your ab training, but you must do some if you want abs that pop. I've found that abs seem to respond best to a combination of weighted and unweighted work. Here's how I like to do it. Do a set of weighted exercise like the cable crunch, captain's chair leg raise, or hanging leg raise for 10 to 12 reps. You can add weight to the latter two by snatching a dumbbell in between your feet. Go directly into one set of an unweighted exercise to failure. Go directly into one set of an unweighted exercise to failure. Rest 2 to 3 minutes. For example, do a set of cable crunches in the 10 to 12 rep range. Go directly into one set of captain's chair leg raises to failure. Go directly into one set of air bicycles to failure. Rest 2 to 3 minutes. Do 3 to 6 of these circuits 2 or 3 times per week and your abs and obliques will develop. In terms of developing the rest of your core muscles, heavy compound weightlifting exercises like the deadlift, squat, and military press get the job done better than special core exercises, particularly when performed with heavy weight. Nothing else is needed here. All right then, that's it for the exercises you'll be doing on the Bigger, Leaner, Stronger program. In the next chapter, you're going to learn how to build workouts with them. Bottom line. Building muscle and strength doesn't require that you constantly challenge your muscles with new exotic exercises. It only requires that you make progress with a relatively small number of exercises that maximally challenge each muscle group and enable you to safely overload them over time. This not only simplifies your goals, but it also makes working out more enjoyable. You go into every workout knowing exactly what you're doing and why, and you're able to easily track your progress over time. Chapter summary. Introduction. Out of the hundreds and hundreds of exercises you could possibly do, 4 reign supreme: the squat, deadlift, bench press, and military press. Heavy half reps, whether on the bench press, military press, or squat, put large amounts of strain on your joints, tendons, and ligaments, much more than if you were moving less weight through a proper full range of motion, gradually strengthening the muscles and supporting tissues. The squat. As long as you use proper form, the squat does not put your back or knees at risk of injury. If you can avoid it, don't squat on a Smith machine. Don't use a powerlifter's wide squatting stance unless you're actually powerlifting. If you feel the need to squat with blocks or plates under your heels, it's because you need more hamstring and or ankle flexibility. Check out Dr. Kelly Starrett's work on improving hamstring and ankle mobility so you can do the squat as described in this chapter. By squatting in shoes with flat soles or proper weightlifting shoes with a slight rigid heel elevation, you'll find it much easier to sit back onto your heels and engage your hamstrings and glutes more effectively. The front squat emphasizes the quadriceps and core and creates less compression of the spine and less torque in the knees, which makes it particularly useful for those with back or knee injuries or limitations. The bench press. If you don't know what you're doing and try to bench press large amounts of weight with poor form, it's very easy to hurt your shoulders. Bench press properly, however, and you'll keep your shoulders safe and your chest growing bigger and stronger. Don't bounce the bar off your chest. Lower it in a controlled manner, keeping everything tight. Then let it touch your chest and drive it up. When you're lowering the weight, think about the coming drive up. Make sure to finish your last rep before trying to rack the weight. The best way to ensure your upper chest doesn't fall behind your pec major is to do a lot of incline pressing. As you narrow your grip on the bar, the triceps have to do more of the work. The deadlift. The deadlift is the ultimate full-body workout, training just about every muscle group in the body. The sumo deadlift uses a wide stance, 1.5 to 2 times the width of your shoulders, to shorten the range of motion and shearing force on the lower back. It also can feel more comfortable in the hips than a conventional deadlift, depending on your biomechanics. If you walk with your toes pointed out, the sumo may be better for you. The hex bar or trap bar deadlift is a great way to learn to deadlift because it doesn't require as much hip and ankle mobility to get to the bar, and it puts less shearing stress on the spine. The RDL is a variation of the deadlift that targets the glutes and hamstrings and minimizes the involvement of the quads and hip muscles. The military press. The military press is the best all-around shoulder exercise you can perform. It's a simple, easy-to-learn movement that allows for the safe lifting of heavy weights. The standing variation requires tremendous core and lower back strength to maintain balance, which in turn limits the amount of weight you can lift. I find that heavy deadlifting and squatting every week builds more than enough core and lower back strength and thus prefer the seated variation. Chest training. Forget cable work, dumbbell flies, push-up variations, machines, and every other type of chest exercise out there for now. They just aren't nearly as effective as the core, foundation-building lifts and are only for advanced weightlifters who have already paid their dues with the heavy pressing to build big, strong pecs. Due to its reduced range of motion, declined pressing causes less stimulation of both the pectoralis major and clavicular pectoralis. A major part of building a great chest is focusing on your incline pressing more than anything else. I usually rotate between dumbbell-centric and barbell-centric routines. Back training. In terms of programming your own back workouts, I highly recommend that you always start with the deadlift. From there, move to a wide-gripped pulling movement like the barbell or T-bar row, front lat pull-down or wide-grip pull-up, weighted if you can, followed by a more narrow-gripped pulling movement like the one-arm dumbbell row, close-grip lat pull-down, close-grip seated row, or chin-up. Shoulder training. In most cases, the medial and posterior deltoids need the most work because the anterior deltoids get worked pretty intensely with proper chest training. The other two heads don't, however. As with the chest, you just can't beat heavy pressing for developing your shoulders. And as a natural weightlifter, you're going to need as much help as you can get in this department. If all you do is press, however, you'll find that your middle and rear heads of your deltoids fall behind in development. This is why a good shoulder workout trains all three heads of the muscle by having you press as well as do side raises and something for the rear delts. Leg training. The bottom line is that every leg workout should begin with either the back or front squat. Next, I like to focus on the other major muscle group of the pair with the back squat, my exercise of choice for hamstring emphasis, and the front squat, hack squat, leg press, or a lunge movement for the quadriceps. I usually finish with some hamstring-centric work like the Romanian deadlift or even the leg curl. Unless you're blessed with great calf genetics, you're going to have to work your calves quite a bit to maintain proportions with your thighs and arms. Research has shown that the muscle fibers of the gastrocnemius, the calf muscle we see and are primarily concerned with developing for aesthetic purposes, can vary in composition from person to person. Like the abs, the calves seem to recover from workouts more quickly than other muscle groups and thus can be trained more intensively. The calves seem to respond particularly well to periodized training that includes high rep work. Proper form with calf exercises is simple. At the bottom of a rep, your heels are as low as they'll go and you feel a deep stretch in your calves, and at the top of a rep, you're up on your tippy toes like a ballerina. Arm training. In terms of programming, you have quite a bit of flexibility. What I like to do is at least one barbell and one dumbbell exercise per workout for the biceps. Most of the time, it's the barbell curl followed by the hammer curl. I like to start my triceps training with something I can push some weight on, like the close grip bench press or seated triceps press. You may run into some pretty intense forearm soreness with the arm workouts in this program and with the biceps training in particular. If you experience this, simply reduce your working set weight to the 6 to 8 rep range, enough weight to allow for 6 reps but no more than 8, and build your strength here for the first couple of months. Core training. The full six-pack look requires both low body fat levels and well-developed core muscles. The squat and deadlift, even when performed with heavy weight, 80+% of 1 RM, just don't involve the show muscles of the rectus abdominis, the transversus abdominis, and the external obliques as much as people think. The abs are like any other muscle. They require progressive overload to grow, and that can only be accomplished by adding resistance to exercises. You don't have to add weight to all of your ab training, but you must do some if you want abs that pop. Chapter 18, The Bigger, Leaner, Stronger Workout Routine. No matter what you do or how satisfying it is in that beautiful moment in time, immediately you want more. You have to, if you want to find out how good you can be.
Glenn Penley.
Now that you know which exercises you should be doing and how to train each muscle group properly, let's take a look at how to build actual workout routines using everything you've learned. And keep in mind, you'll find a year's worth of workouts in the bonus report, so you don't have to try to remember everything you hear in this chapter. Just as all bigger, leaner, stronger workouts should be built using the exercises given in the previous chapter, they should also follow certain guidelines. Don't forget the formula discussed in Chapter 16, as this is the engine that makes the program work. How you train is just as important as the exercises you do. If you do all the right exercises but fail to follow the formula by doing things like lifting too little weight, resting too little, doing too few or too many sets per workout, and so forth, you'll make less than optimal gains. Lift weights 3 to 5 times per week, with 4 being better than 3 and 5 being better than 4. You can certainly make gains lifting 3 or 4 times per week, and I'm going to show you exactly how to do this, but you will do best if you can somehow work in 5 sessions every week. If you're going to train 5 days per week, use the following training template. Day 1, chest and abs. Day 2, back and calves. Day 3, shoulders and abs. Day 4, legs. Day 5, upper body and abs. Your upper body day consists of 3 sets for the chest performed in the 8 to 10 rep range, with 1 to 2 minutes of rest in between each set, followed by arms training, biceps and triceps, in the 4 to 6 rep range. In terms of the amount of weight to use for your 8 to 10 rep sets, it should be about 10% less than your heavy 4 to 6 rep weight, about 75% of your 1 RM. And the goal is to progress here like everywhere. Once you hit 10 reps, add weight. In terms of your choice of exercises for this additional chest training, I recommend that you stick to incline pressing and dips. For example, here's a 5-day week on the program, and remember that working sets are your heavy 4 to 6 rep sets, and optional sets are for when you feel like you have a bit more juice left but aren't mandatory. Day 1, chest and abs, incline barbell bench press, warm-up sets and then 3 working sets, incline dumbbell bench press, 3 working sets, flat barbell bench press, 3 working sets, face pull, 3 working sets of 8 to 10 reps per set with 1 to 2 minutes of rest in between these lighter sets, 3 ab circuits. The face pull isn't an exercise you see many people doing, but it's one of my favorites for strengthening the rotator cuff muscles, which are heavily involved in pressing. Day 2, back and calves, barbell deadlift, warm-up sets and then 3 working sets, barbell row, 3 working sets, wide grip pull-up or chin-up, 3 working sets, weighted if possible. Optional, close grip lat pull-down, 3 working sets. Optional, barbell shrugs, 2 working sets. Calf workout A. If you have lower back issues, remember that you can swap the deadlift for a more lower back friendly variation like the sumo or hex deadlift, or you can drop it altogether and choose another approved exercise like the T-bar row. Day 3, shoulders and abs, seated or standing barbell military press, warm-up sets and then 3 working sets, side lateral raise, 3 working sets, bent over rear delt raise, 3 working sets, 3 ab circuits. Day 4, legs, barbell squat, warm-up sets and then 3 working sets, leg press, 3 working sets, Romanian deadlift, 3 working sets, calf workout B. Day 5, upper body and abs, incline barbell bench press, warm-up sets and then 3 sets of 8 to 10 reps per set, with 1 to 2 minutes of rest in between these lighter sets. Barbell curl, warm-up sets and then 3 working sets. Close grip bench press, 3 working sets, no need to warm up after the chest pressing. Alternating dumbbell curl, 3 working sets. Seated triceps press, 3 working sets. 3 ab circuits. If you're going to lift 5 days per week, I recommend that you start with this routine for your first 8 to 10 weeks. It's the first phase of the workout you'll find in the bonus report. In terms of which days to train on, most people like to lift Monday through Friday and take the weekends off, maybe doing some cardio on one or both of these days. This works well. Feel free to work your rest days however you want, though. Some people prefer to lift on the weekends and take off 2 days during the week. Work your cardio in as needed. You can lift and do cardio on the same days without an issue. If you're going to train 4 days per week, use the following template. Day 1, chest and triceps and calves. Day 2, back and biceps and abs. Day 3, upper body and calves. Day 4, legs and abs. In this template, your upper body day consists of 3 sets for the chest performed in the 8 to 10 rep range followed by shoulders training. Here's an example of a 4-day week on the program. Day 1, chest and triceps and calves. Incline barbell bench press, warm-up sets and then 3 working sets. Flat barbell bench press, 3 working sets. Dip, chest variation, weighted if possible, 3 working sets. Seated triceps press, 3 working sets. Calf workout A. Day 2, back and biceps and abs. Barbell deadlift, warm-up sets, and then 3 working sets. Barbell row, 3 working sets. Wide grip pull-up or chin-up, 3 working sets, weighted if possible. Barbell curl, 3 working sets. 3 ab circuits. Day 3, upper body and calves, incline barbell bench press, warm-up sets, and then 3 sets of 8 to 10 reps per set, with 1 to 2 minutes of rest in between these lighter sets. Seated or standing barbell military press, warm-up sets and then 3 working sets. Side lateral raise, 3 working sets. Bent over rear delt raise, 3 working sets. Calf workout B. Day 4, legs and abs. Barbell squat, warm-up sets and then 3 working sets. Leg press, 3 working sets. Romanian deadlift, 3 working sets. 3 ab circuits. Again, if you're going to lift 4 days per week, start here. In terms of which days to train on, you have the same flexibility as with the 5-day layout. Work your cardio in as needed. If you're going to train 3 days per week, you have 2 templates to choose from. Option A, day 1, back and biceps and abs. Day 2, chest and triceps and calves. Day 3, legs and shoulders. Option B, day 1, pull and abs. Day 2, push and calves. Day 3, legs and abs. Neither of these templates is necessarily better than the other. It comes down to personal preference. In option A, your first and second days consist of 9 working sets for your major muscle groups, chest and back respectively, and 6 for your minor groups, triceps and biceps. Your final day consists of 9 sets for legs and 6 to 9 sets for shoulders. Yes, this is hard. In option B, your push day consists of training your chest, shoulders, triceps, and calves in that order. In terms of number of sets, this should involve 6 to 9 sets for both chest and shoulders and 3 sets for triceps. Work your cardio in as needed. Here's an example of an option A 3-day week. Day 1, back and biceps and abs. Barbell deadlift, warm-up sets and then 3 working sets. Barbell row, 3 working sets. Wide grip pull-up or chin-up, 3 working sets. 4 to 6 reps per set, weighted if possible. Barbell curl, 3 working sets. 3 ab circuits. Day 2, chest and triceps and calves. Incline barbell bench press. Warm-up sets and then 3 working sets. Flat barbell bench press, 3 working sets. Dip, chest variation, weighted if possible. 3 working sets. Seated triceps press, 3 working sets. Calf workout A. Day 3, legs and shoulders. Barbell squat, warm-up sets and then 2 working sets. Leg press, 2 working sets. Romanian deadlift, 2 working sets. Seated or standing barbell military press, warm-up sets and then 2 working sets. Side lateral raise, 2 working sets. Optional, bent over rear delt raise, 2 working sets. As you can see, not much changes here except day 3, which is a real ball breaker. Some people like to do a set of legs, rest 60 to 90 seconds, then do a set of shoulders, rest 60 to 90 seconds, and alternate like this. This is tough, but it also is a workable way to save time. And here's an example of an option B 3-day week. Day 1, pull and abs, barbell deadlift, warm-up sets and then 3 working sets, barbell row, 3 working sets, wide grip pull-up or chin-up, 3 working sets, weighted if possible. Barbell curl, 3 working sets. 3 ab circuits. Day 2, push and calves. Incline barbell bench press, warm-up sets, and then 3 working sets. Seated or standing barbell military press, warm-up sets and then 3 working sets, flat barbell bench press, 3 working sets, side lateral raise, 3 working sets, optional, close grip bench press, 3 working sets. Calf workout A. Day 3, legs and abs, barbell squat, warm-up sets and then 3 working sets, leg press, 3 working sets, Romanian deadlift, 3 working sets, 3 ab circuits. This setup is quite different than the other workouts, but it follows simple guidelines. Your push day should include 6 sets for both your chest and shoulders and 3 optional sets for your triceps. Dips are great for including in this type of workout because they train the chest, shoulders, and triceps. Your pull day should include 9 sets for your back and 3 for your biceps. Your legs day is identical to the other routines. How to do your workouts. You want to do the exercises one at a time in the order given. So you start with the first exercise and do your warm-up sets, followed by your 3 heavy sets, with the proper rest in between each, of course, and then move on to the next exercise on the list and so forth, like this. Exercise 1, set 1, rest. Exercise 1, set 2, rest. Exercise 1, set 3, rest. Exercise 2, set 1, rest. And so on. The secret to a proper warm-up routine. What if I told you that with one simple technique you could immediately increase your strength on every lift while also reducing the risk of injury? Well, you can, and the secret lies in how you warm up each muscle group before hitting the heavy weights. Warm up incorrectly, and you can reduce your strength and set yourself up for muscle strains or worse. Here's an example of an ineffective warm-up routine. Put 135 pounds on the bar and do about 10 to 15 reps. Rest a few minutes and then go to 185 pounds for 12 reps. After another short rest, go up to 205 pounds for 8 reps, which is done to failure. A few minutes later, it's 4 to 6 reps with 225 pounds, followed by a longer rest and finally a monumental struggle with 275 pounds for 2 reps. What's the problem here? Well, by the time you get to the heavy muscle-building sets, you're so fatigued from what you've already done that you can't handle the heavy stuff nearly as well as you should be able to. This leads to subpar workouts that fail to overload the muscles adequately and thus produce lackluster results over time. Another common warm-up mistake is doing too little. Many guys are anxious to start loading the plates and thus only do one light warm-up set before hitting the heavy stuff. This can lead to muscle strains, joint impingements, or worse. Warm up correctly, however, and you will find that you can tap into your maximum strength without increasing the risk of injury. This helps you maximally overload your muscles without having to worry about getting hurt, which in turn safely stimulates the maximum amount of muscle growth. A proper warm-up routine has 2 simple goals: to introduce blood into the muscles to be trained and to progressively acclimate them to heavy weight without causing fatigue. You want your muscles fresh and ready for the heavy sets, the muscle-building sets, and not burned out from too much warm-up work. Here's how you do it. First set. In your first warm-up set, you want to do 12 reps with about 50% of your heavy 4 to 6 rep set weight and then rest for 1 minute. This set should feel very light and easy. For instance, if you did 3 sets of 5 reps with 225 pounds on the bench last week, you would start your warm-up with about 110 pounds and do 12 reps, followed by 1 minute of rest. Second set. In your second warm-up set, you use the same weight as the first and do 10 reps, this time at a little faster pace, then rest for 1 minute. Third set. Your third warm-up set is 4 reps with about 70% of your heavy weight, and it should be done at a moderate pace. This set and the following one are done to acclimate your muscles to the heavy weights that are about to come. Once again, you follow this set with a 1 minute rest. With a working set weight of 225, this would be about 155 to 160 pounds. Fourth set. The fourth warm-up set is the final one, and it's simple. 1 rep with about 90% of your heavy weight. Rest 2 to 3 minutes after this final warm-up set. This would be about 200 pounds if your heavy weight were 225. Fifth, sixth, and seventh sets. These are your working sets performed in the 4 to 6 rep range with about 85% of your 1 RM. Moving on to the next exercise. Generally speaking, you don't need to perform more warm-up sets in a workout beyond the 4 laid out earlier. For instance, if you start your workout with the flat bench press and then move to the incline press, you don't have to do a new round of warm-up sets. That said, I do like to do a 10 to 12 rep warm-up, then moving on to an exercise that targets muscles that aren't sufficiently warmed up. For example, when I'm moving from shoulder presses to side or rear raises, I like to do a 10 to 12 rep warm-up set on the raise, as I find the medial and posterior delts aren't always ready for heavy weight after pressing. Warming up on arms day. When warming up for an arms day, I like to do a warm-up set for biceps immediately, followed by a warm-up set for triceps, followed by a 60-second rest. I don't superset my heavy sets like this, but as we're not trying to lift as much weight as possible while warming up, we don't lose anything by doing it here. The bottom line is that warming up correctly is an important part of training with heavy weight and building muscle. Trust me, it's worth spending your first 10 minutes warming up instead of just rushing into the heavy lifting. Your first few weeks on the program. If you're new to weightlifting, you're going to find everything a bit awkward at first. You'll be working out your weights, you'll have trouble maintaining proper form on some of the exercises, and you'll probably get pretty sore from your workouts. All of this is normal and just part of the game. However, it shouldn't take long before you're comfortable with each exercise and your weight for each, and you'll get less and less sore as time goes on. Feel free to use your warm-up sets to get acquainted with the exercises, and feel free to work in the 6-8 rep or even the 8-10 rep range for these first few weeks to get a good feel for everything. Then, once you're comfortable, move into the 4-6 rep range. Aches and soreness are to be expected, but sharp pains while lifting mean that something is wrong. Don't try to muscle through a sharp pain. Instead, drop the weight and check your form. If your form is fine, stop the exercise and do another. Stay away from the exercise that was giving you pain for a couple of weeks and strengthen the area with an exercise that doesn't hurt. Then try the original exercise again and see whether it still bothers you. If it still does, don't do it. If you're having any serious pains while or after training, see a doctor, as it might be an indicator of something else. Finding your starting weights. Finding your starting weights on the various exercises is more or less a matter of trial and error. As a general rule, for every 10 pounds you add to the bar, you'll lose about 2 reps. The same goes for each 5-pound increase on the dumbbells. You can err on the side of starting too light and then just dial everything in as you familiarize yourself with the weights and exercises. We don't need no stinking spotter, but sometimes it helps. A spotter isn't necessary because you should always use weights that you can perform clean, unassisted reps with. That said, if you do have someone to spot you on certain exercises like the bench press and military press, it has a couple of advantages. First, it allows you to go for that extra rep that you might not want to try otherwise. Second, there's a strange strength benefit to having someone standing there to assist you, even if he does nothing more than put his hands under or even fingers under the bar. I know it sounds like bro science, but you'll experience it. You'll be struggling on your last rep, your buddy will just put his fingers under the bar, and suddenly you'll push it up and ask why he helped. So if you don't have someone to work out with, I recommend that you ask someone in the gym to give you a spot, at least on those two exercises. I also recommend that you let the person know what you'd like him to do, which brings me to the proper way to spot. 1. If needed, help with the liftoff. 2. Let the person do as many reps as possible without any assistance from you. 3. If he gets bogged down on a rep, place your hands under the bar, but don't take any weight off yet. Chances are this is all he'll need to finish his rep. 4. If he's still stuck, take about 10% of the load off. 5. If he's still stuck, take another 10 to 15% of the load off. 6. If he's still stuck, he's toast. Take as much of the load off as you can so he can finish the rep. I don't want to make this sound overly complicated, but a good spotter is there for safety reasons only. The rule is that if the person you're spotting is moving the weight up, even if slowly, you don't touch it. Don't accept poor spotting, as this can seriously put a damper on your gains, leading you to believe you're hitting certain strength milestones when you're not. While the technique of spotting is self-explanatory in most cases, I'd like to mention here the proper way to spot someone who's squatting. Spot the bar, not the person. Don't hook your arms under the armpits as you're looking to reduce the load, and spotting via the body isn't the safest way to do this. Now, if there is no way to get a spot, you can still make good progress on your pushing. My first recommendation is that you do your bench and military pressing and squatting in a power cage, as it allows you to set safety bars and thus do your sets without having to worry about getting stuck with the weight on top of you. If that's not possible, then you need to get used to ending your bench press, military press, and squat sets at the point where you have, at best, one rep left in the tank. That is, you end them at the point where you struggle to finish a rep and aren't quite sure whether you can get another. You'll become more aware of this point as you continue lifting. The deload week. As you know, I recommend that you make rest and recovery a priority every 8 weeks by either taking a week off the weights or doing a deload week. Here's how I like to program my deload weeks. Day 1, deadlift, 3 sets of 8 to 10 reps with 50% of your normal heavy weight. Barbell row, 3 sets of 8 to 10 reps with 50% of your normal heavy weight. One arm dumbbell row, 3 sets of 8 to 10 reps with 50% of your normal heavy weight. Pull-ups, 3 sets of body weight to failure. Day 2, military press, 3 sets of 8 to 10 reps with 50% of your normal heavy weight. Incline bench press, 3 sets of 8 to 10 reps with 50% of your normal heavy weight. Close grip bench press, 3 sets of 8 to 10 reps with 50% of your normal heavy weight. Dips, 3 sets of body weight to failure. Day 3, barbell squat, 3 sets of 8 to 10 reps with 50% of your normal heavy weight. Front squat, 3 sets of 8 to 10 reps with 50% of your normal heavy weight. Romanian deadlift, 3 sets of 8 to 10 reps with 50% of your normal heavy weight. That's it. As you can see, the big difference is a dramatic reduction in the intensity of your workouts. In terms of which days you should train on, I recommend that you rest one day in between each workout. Most people like to train on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Changing your routine. Unless your muscles are made of brain matter, they have no cognitive abilities. They're not trying to guess what workout you're going to do today and can't be confused by regularly changing your workout routine. Muscle tissue is purely mechanical in nature and can contract and relax and nothing more. That said, there's validity to the basic premise that for your muscles to keep growing in both size and strength, they must be continually challenged. Where muscle confusion theory misses the boat, however, is what type of challenge drives muscle growth. You see, you can change up your routine every week, hell, every day, and easily fall into a rut of no gains simply because change isn't a primary driver of muscle growth. You already know what is, however, progressive overload. The key to building muscle and strength isn't merely changing the types of stimuli, new exercises, but increasing them. And the most effective way to do this is to force your muscles to overreach and perform more than the last time. If you just do this with the core muscle-building exercises you'll do in this program, squat, deadlift, bench press, and military press, you'll be miles ahead of the average gym-goer trying to continually confuse his muscles. With Bigger, Leaner, Stronger, however, you're taking this approach a bit further by including other exercises that work the various muscle groups in slightly different ways and help you achieve a balanced, well-proportioned physique that can both show and go. For instance, if you only military press for your shoulders and never do any isolation work for your lateral and posterior deltoids, your shoulders are never going to pop like you want. If you only back squat for your legs, chances are your quadriceps aren't going to develop and separate as well as they would if you also included some exercises that emphasize them, such as the front squat, leg press, or hack squat. There's a method to proper exercise rotation, though. Namely, there are two types of exercises. The non-negotiables, which are exercises you should do every week without fail. These are the big compound lifts vital for building a strong muscular physique, the squat, deadlift, bench press, and military press. The negotiables, which can be seen as accessory work done in addition to those. These are mostly compound exercises like the dumbbell press, barbell row, and dip, but they also include isolation exercises like the side lateral raise, face pull, and dumbbell curl. An easy, effective way to program a workout is to do 3 to 6 sets of your non-negotiable exercises, followed by 3 to 6 sets of your negotiable exercises, and to change the negotiables every 8 to 10 weeks, after your rest or deload weeks. The key to it all, however, is ensuring that you're making progress on these exercises. That is, you're increasing the number of reps you can do with given weights over time, and using this to increase the amount of weight you can lift. Strength week. As you know, one of your primary goals as a natural weightlifter is to get stronger
and particularly on the big compound movements. That's why the core of the Bigger Leaner Stronger program, as laid out earlier, is a hybrid between traditional strength training and traditional bodybuilding workouts. The program combines the compound lifting found in strength programs that builds a foundation of strength and size, and the isolation work found in bodybuilding workouts that helps develop smaller muscles that contribute to overall proportions and aesthetics. Out of these two elements, however, the former, heavy compound lifting, is far more important than the latter, doing isolation work, for reaching your goals. The bottom line is, the majority of your progress with your physique is going to come from your progress in your squatting, deadlifting, and bench and overhead pressing. That's why I recommend that you make every fourth training week on the program a strength week. That is, for every 3 weeks of normal workouts, you do one strength week. In this week, you will follow a more traditional strength training layout, which has you perform the same exercises several times in the week, but has you do fewer sets each workout. The purpose of the strength week is to give you more practice doing the key exercises. The more you do them, the better you get, and help you get stronger faster. There are two layouts for this week that you will alternate between. Strength Week A. Day 1, barbell squat, warm-up sets, and then 3 working sets. Seated or standing barbell military press, warm-up sets, and then 3 working sets. Barbell deadlift, warm-up sets, and then 1 working set. Day 2, barbell squat, warm-up sets, and then 3 working sets. Flat barbell bench press, warm-up sets, and then 3 working sets. Barbell deadlift, warm-up sets, and then 1 working set. Day 3, barbell squat, warm-up sets, and then 3 working sets. Seated or standing barbell military press, warm-up sets, and then 3 working sets. Barbell deadlift, warm-up sets, and then 1 working set. Strength Week B. Day 1, barbell squat, warm-up sets, and then 3 working sets. Flat barbell bench press, warm-up sets, and then 3 working sets. Barbell deadlift, warm-up sets, and then 1 working set. Day 2, barbell squat, warm-up sets, and then 3 working sets. Seated or standing barbell military press, warm-up sets, and then 3 working sets. Barbell deadlift, warm-up sets, and then 1 working set. Day 3, barbell squat, warm-up sets, and then 3 working sets. Flat barbell bench press, warm-up sets, and then 3 working sets. Barbell deadlift, warm-up sets, and then 1 working set. Those familiar with strength training will immediately recognize these as basic routines from the popular program Starting Strength. Some points on how to do your strength weeks properly. As you can see, workout A emphasizes military pressing, whereas workout B emphasizes bench pressing. Alternate between these workouts for your strength weeks, AB, AB, etc. As mentioned earlier, make every fourth training week a strength week. I say fourth training week because this doesn't include rest or deload weeks. Here's how most people like to do it. 3 weeks of normal workouts. 1 strength week, A. 3 weeks of normal workouts. 1 strength week, B. 1 rest, deload week. Repeat. As you can see, this setup has you train for 8 weeks. Take a week to rest and recover. Train for 8 weeks, rest and recover, and so forth. If you normally rest or deload every 8 weeks, but for whatever reason, need to do it early, let's say after 6 weeks of training, just start your next training cycle anew like this. 3 weeks of normal workouts. 1 strength week, A. 2 weeks of normal workouts. 1 rest deload week. 3 weeks of normal workouts. 1 strength week, B. 3 weeks of normal workouts. 1 strength week, A. 1 rest deload week, and so on. If you find that you generally need to rest, deload more frequently than every 8 weeks, just follow the pattern of 3 normal weeks followed by 1 strength week. For example, if you need to rest, deload every 6 weeks, here's how it would look. 3 weeks of normal workouts, 1 strength week, A, 2 weeks of normal workouts, 1 rest, deload week, 1 week of normal workouts, 1 strength week, B, 3 weeks of normal workouts, 1 strength week, A, 1 rest, deload week. 3 weeks of normal workouts, 1 strength week, B. 2 weeks of normal workouts, 1 rest, deload week, and so on. If you're able to go longer than 8 weeks before needing a rest deload week, follow the 3-1 ratio between normal and strength weeks until you need to take a break. Then start anew, like this. 3 weeks of normal workouts, 1 strength week A. 3 weeks of normal workouts, 1 strength week B. 3 weeks of normal workouts, 1 strength week A. 1 rest deload week. 3 weeks of normal workouts, 1 strength week B, and so forth. Remember that regardless of your rest deload schedule, you never do the same strength week twice in a row. You always alternate between A and B. I recommend that you rest at least one day in between your strength week workouts. Many people like to train on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Your strength week working sets should be done with the same weight as your working sets in your normal workouts. For example, if in your last back workout, you deadlifted 225 pounds for sets of 5, 4, and 4 reps, you use 225 pounds for your deadlifts on your strength week. You progress in your strength workouts in the same way as your normal workouts. Once you get 6 reps, add 5 to 10 pounds to the bar and continue working with that weight. Rest the normal 3 to 4 minutes in between sets. You can continue doing cardio or not as usual. That's it for the strength week. Want a year's worth of workout routines built by me? Feel free to take what you've learned in the book and formulate your own workout routines, but if you'd like a little help with coming up with what to do, you can find a full year's worth of training routines in the free bonus report that came with the book. The bottom line. You now know the core principles of the Bigger, Leaner, Stronger program. You also know how the program works and how to ensure you get the most out of it. If you're feeling a bit overwhelmed by all the details, I totally understand. Take a few minutes to go back over this chapter and let it all sink in. Once you've started applying what you've learned in this chapter, you'll see how simple it is. Making great gains in the gym requires nothing more than doing a bunch of little things right in both your diet and training. There isn't one great secret to building a strong, muscular, and lean physique. You just assemble the pieces of the puzzle efficiently and correctly, and it all comes together. Chapter summary. Workout schedule. Lift weights 3 to 5 times per week, with 4 being better than 3 and 5 being better than 4. In terms of which days to train on, most people like to lift Monday through Friday and take the weekends off, maybe doing some cardio on one or both of these days. This works well. Feel free to work your rest days however you want, though. Some people prefer to lift on the weekends and take off 2 days during the week. Work your cardio in as needed. You can lift and do cardio on the same days without an issue. You want to do the exercises one at a time, in the order given. So you start with the first exercise and do your warm-up sets, followed by your 3 heavy sets with the proper rest in between each, of course, and then move on to the next exercise on the list and so forth. Proper warm-up routine. Warm up incorrectly and you can reduce your strength and set yourself up for muscle strains or worse. A proper warm-up routine has 2 simple goals: to introduce blood into the muscles to be trained and to progressively acclimate them to heavy weight without causing fatigue. In your first warm-up set, you want to do 12 reps with about 50% of your heavy 4-6 rep set weight and then rest for 1 minute. In your second warm-up set, you use the same weight as the first and do 10 reps this time at a little faster pace, then rest for 1 minute. Your third warm-up set is 4 reps with about 70% of your heavy weight, and it should be done at a moderate pace. Once again, you follow this set with a 1 minute rest. The fourth warm-up set is the final one, and it's simple. 1 rep with about 90% of your heavy weight. Rest 2 to 3 minutes after this final warm-up set. Generally speaking, you don't need to perform any more warm-up sets beyond the 4 laid out earlier. That said, I do like to do a 10 to 12 rep warm-up when moving on to an exercise that targets muscles that aren't sufficiently warmed up. When warming up for an arms day, I like to do a warm-up set for biceps immediately followed by a warm-up set for triceps, followed by a 60-second rest. Your first few weeks on the program. Feel free to use your warm-up sets to get acquainted with the exercises, and feel free to work in the 6 to 8 or even the 8 to 10 rep range for these first few weeks to get a good feel for everything. Then, once you're comfortable, move into the 4 to 6 range. Aches and soreness are to be expected, but sharp pains while lifting mean that something is wrong. Don't try to muscle through a sharp pain. Finding your starting weights. Finding your starting weights on the various exercises is more or less a matter of trial and error. As a general rule, for every 10 pounds you add to the bar, you'll lose about 2 reps. The same goes for each 5-pound increase on the dumbbells. Spotting. A spotter isn't necessary because you should always use weights that you can perform clean, unassisted reps with. That said, if you do have someone to spot you on certain exercises, like the bench press and military press, it has a couple of advantages. Don't accept poor spotting, as this can seriously put a damper on your gains. The worst mistake most people make when spotting is take weight off the bar when it's unnecessary. If no spot is available, I recommend that you do your bench and military pressing and squatting in a power cage, as it allows you to set safety bars, and thus do your sets without having to worry about getting stuck with the weight on top of you. Changing your routine. The key to building muscle and strength isn't merely changing the types of stimuli, new exercises, but increasing them. And the most effective way to do this is to force your muscles to overreach and perform more than the last time. An easy, effective way to program a workout is to do 3 to 6 sets of your non-negotiable exercises, followed by 3 to 6 sets of your negotiable exercises, and to change the negotiables every 8 to 10 weeks, after your rest or deload weeks. If you find that you generally need to rest, deload more frequently than every 8 weeks, just follow the pattern of 3 normal weeks, followed by 1 strength week. Strength week. The purpose of the strength week is to give you more practice doing the key exercises. The more you do them, the better you get, and help you get stronger faster. Make every 4th training week on the program a strength week. That is, for every 3 weeks of normal workouts, you do 1 strength week. If you normally rest, deload every 8 weeks, but for whatever reason, need to do it early, let's say after 6 weeks of training, just start your next training cycle anew. If you're able to go longer than 8 weeks before needing a rest-deload week, follow the 3-1 ratio between normal and strength weeks until you need to take a break. Your strength week working sets should be done with the same weight as your working sets in your normal workouts. You progress in your strength workouts in the same way as your normal workouts. Once you get 6 reps, add 5 to 10 pounds to the bar and continue working with that weight. Rest the normal 3 to 4 minutes in between sets. You can continue doing cardio or not as usual. Chapter 19. Tracking your progress. If you can't measure it, you don't know it. Courage doesn't always roar. Sometimes courage is the quiet voice at the end of the day saying, "I will try again tomorrow." Marianne Rodmacher. I used to be that guy who showed up to the gym every day only to lift more or less the same weights for more or less the same reps for months on end. I saw no real difference in the mirror, no noticeable muscle growth, and no reduction in body fat percentage. What did I do in response to the seemingly never-ending problem of no gains? I changed things, of course. You know, I tried new exercises and routines, new diet tricks, or new supplements. This shotgun approach never worked. My strength and body composition didn't change much as time went on, but I dutifully kept searching for the workout of the week or dietary insight that would finally show me the way, only to continue to be disappointed. While much of the blame for this long, frustrating cycle of letdowns and setbacks lay with the workout programs and diets themselves, they were so flawed that no natural weightlifter could do well with them. There was another major mistake I was making that dramatically exacerbated the problem. Sir William Thomson, also known as Lord Kelvin, was an ingenious physicist and engineer, and he said that when you can measure something and express it in numbers, you know something about it, but when you can't, your knowledge is lacking. This insight is applicable to training and dieting. If you can measure your progress, or lack thereof, and express it in real numbers, then you know whether you're going in the right direction. If you don't have any consistent, objective way to measure progress, then you're going at it blind, hoping for the best. I was doing the latter, never really knowing whether I was increasing my strength over time or whether I was eating properly for my goals. You see, one of the most effective ways to prevent getting stuck in a rut of no gains is simply to track your numbers. That is, You should keep a training journal that includes what you do in each workout, and you should either track or plan your daily food intake and stick to the plan. To some, this may seem a bit obsessive, but I think you already know why it's absolutely vital to continued success in this game. Building your ideal body takes time. As the old adage goes, it's a marathon, not a